Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Well, well, another fine show, a wonderful show visiting with Dave Gens again. Always great to have him back. Anyway, I'm your host, Brad. Brad, how you been?
I've been quite good. We're getting on towards spring here, but still got a little bit of ice left in the North Country. And as you had mentioned, had a chance to fish and visit with Dave Gens for a couple of days in northern Minnesota. Always a pleasure, and always, you know, just it's just real exciting being, you know, being able to spend some time with a real pioneer in the industry. Great fun, great guy.
And he's always so willing to teach, and that's why I like interviewing him so much. I mean, just a lot of great information to pass along, and you know, some of it I knew and some of it I'd never thought about, so just always a great interview. Anyway, to get things started, want to mention some of our good sponsors here. First of all, there's Trophy Cat Adventures, can't forget them. We still got a few weeks left to sign up to win the full day's guided trip on the Red from Cats on from Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures. All you got to do is send us an email to contest@whyfishradio.com. Give us your name, address, and phone number, and you're in. Also, Stu and the boys up at Cats on the Red. Lots of things going to get going. Opening is right around the 15th of May for the catfish, so get your reservations made early. Check them out on the web, catsonthered.net, and that phone number, as always.
Area code 204-757-9876. And I have to ask, did the cat get your tongue by any chance there?
I've been talking catfish for so long, and then, you know, with two good facilities on the Red River, you just kind of...
Too much to do, too little time. But I guess that brings us around to this week. We have a new guest with us for this week's show. We have our good friend Bruce Mosier, president of Today's Tackle in Beltrami, Minnesota. Bruce, welcome to Whyfish Radio.
Hey, glad to be here. It's always fun talking to you guys.
Well, I tell you, I think now, Bruce, looking back, it's been about 7 years ago since I first met you. You were just starting to make the rounds with a new product. It was called the Ice Buster Bobber. Tell us a little bit about your inspiration for the Ice Buster and kind of where that road has taken you since then. I mean, it's been a real hit on the market.
Well, actually, I came out with the Ice Busters in 99, but a few years prior to that, I fished a lot in the winter. And I was just frustrated with all the other slip bobbers freezing to my line and not all the options that I wanted. So I finally created the Ice Buster Bobber and traveled around the state and sold them all. And next season we just kept multiplying, and now it's been a good business.
How do you know where to begin with something like that? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a learning curve there. You know, what were some of the roadblocks you encountered along the way?
First off, I mean, I always loved inventing things, tinkering around with stuff and making units adapt things to what I wanted. There's always roadblocks. It's very tough getting started. The patent process was overwhelming, so I went right to a patent lawyer. The copyrights, the trademarks, I mean, you really have to work things out. You have to study. I went to the UND school, the library there. They helped me out a lot, and I already had a previous business set up, so the business sense was handy to have that knowledge. But as far as packaging, colors, there's so much things to learn. UPC codes, I mean, it took me a lot of time, you know, a lot of searching to get to where I was.
Well, as I recall, the very first time I met you, at that point, you were actually putting those bobbers together on your kitchen table. And, you know, it seems to me you said you had your wife, Patty, helping you, and you had, probably bobbers halfway to the ceiling just trying to get those orders met.
Well, we had boxes in here, solid red caps, yellow foam, and lots of glue, and it was overwhelming. We made 20,000 bobbers that first year. My wife shook her head. She laughed. She said, "You're going to sell all these?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, it wasn't a month and a half. The orders were gone and orders were coming back, phones ringing, and we said, "Hey, I think we're onto something here." And we had to expand, so we just rented a shop uptown here in little town of Beltrami and just kept expanding from there.
Well, it had to have been really, really rewarding to see that happen and see that take off. I mean, you know, just the idea. I mean, I drive down the road and you see somebody that's been ice fishing and you see those bobbers clipped onto just about every fishing rod. Everybody has them. And I mean, to see that and know that, you know, I came up with this, I invented this. I mean, that's got to be just an amazing thing.
I remember the first time I went into a store, I think it was Shields, and I walked down the aisle just to see where my bobbers were displayed. And these two people are contemplating about it. And one guy was reading about it and looking at it. And I'm buying them, he said. And the other guy didn't want to, and his buddy did. But just to see that first sale, I mean, it's a grin from ear to ear. And like you said, now it's kind of fun driving down the highway and you see buckets in the back, rods sticking up, and see a few ice busters on there. It's always a good sign.
But, you know, at that point, you've got a good product on the market, but now you're probably thinking, well, you know, fishing is a year-round game. You know, maybe I need to diversify and try some other things. Walk us through, you know, maybe some of the other ideas you had and, you know, some of your subsequent products.
Immediately after the ice buster, I jumped into the foam walker, which is my better Lindy rig. It's a slip sinker. And after that, people started telling me, hey, you know, we can't cast these ice busters very well in the summer. Well, I didn't design them for summer fishing, so I decided, well, I better come up with a summer bobber. So I came up with a weighted wave buster bobber, and it's highly visible, the plastic sleeve on top, and a lot of features and options on that also. And I guess you just keep rolling with it. Whatever I need for my fishing, you know, whether it be summer or winter, I like to make it for myself first, play with it, and then eventually I get it on the market.
Is it harder? I mean, with the popularity of the Ice Buster, does that make it easier to get something on the market because people already have that brand awareness? Or is there kind of a stumbling block because they just think of the company as a company that makes bobbers?
There's both. I mean, the first problem I had is I named my company Ice Buster Bobber. Well, that's just not a good idea. You live and learn. So we changed that to Today's Tackle. But I'm still kind of known as the Ice Buster Bobber guy. But you know what? There's a learning curve to everything. It's you just got to go with it and roll with the punches and figure things out, I guess.
Do you try to start with maybe one new product a year? Or, I mean, is there kind of a goal there where you're always trying to get something new on the market? Or, I mean, at what point do you just sit back and enjoy your success and think, I've got enough out there for now?
A lot of the bait shops, the dealers, the buyers, they always ask me, what's new? What's new this year? So that there is pressure on you. I guess I could come up with a new thing most every year, but then again, you need a deep pocketbook. You're always going back to the banker to make new molds and whatnot, so you have to limit yourself to what you can produce and make. Like I said, there's always a learning curve with that.
Oh, and yeah, no question about it. And I know one of your newest products on the market right now, and one that I've really been pleased with, is the Rod Rocker 2. It's, you know, I think one of the great things you've got going for you, you know, with Today's Tackle is there are so many of your products where you look at them and use them and think, well, geez, why didn't I think of that? And I mean, the Rod Rocker 2, I think, is just a classic example of that. It's, you know, in concept, very simple, but yet very effective. Maybe talk a little bit about how you got started with that and, you know, just explain for folks who maybe haven't seen it before what it does do.
Well, there's a lot of wire rod holders on the market and stuff, and they just don't have the features that I wanted. And I was at the St. Paul Ice Show 2 winters ago, and I was sitting in all the portable ice houses, the fish traps, the otter sleds, the Fraybills, and I'm looking to my left, my right, and I said, okay, I got it. So I know, they just kind of popped into my head what I wanted to design, and I made a prototype and went from there. I guess now I'm starting to produce them, and they do work very well on the tubs, or you can use them on the floor of your permanent house, or you can put them on a 2x8 piece of wood and move them around to any hole you want.
Well, the thing that struck me about them is, I mean, when you have your rod on there, there is really no way a fish can take that rod off the holder. It's, you know, it's very compact. You know, like you say, it will throw into the base of your fish house or tow sled, no problem. And it's just so simple that way. And I know, you know, one of my first tests with it was a 27-inch walleye, and it handled it like a charm. Got a little phone ring in the background there, but I guess whoever it is can wait for the time being. But what's next on the horizon? You got a few tricks up your sleeve coming up the road?
Yeah, I've got a few things going right now. I've got a catfish bobber I'm working for. It works great for muskies, northerns, catfish. More ice products, something to keep your hole from freezing open or freezing shut. It keeps your hole open. I also made those tackle pouches that protect your jigs and spoons and components in the winter. But it also fits in your tackle boxes and protects everything in the summer. I don't know. I just can't quit thinking. I guess that's part of my problem. I'm losing sleep.
Well, I was going to say, you probably have a few sleepless nights there, but not too much gray hair there yet for a, you know, somebody that's rapidly approaching the mid-40s, because I think you and I are about the same age, so it can't be too bad. But I guess the big question I have is, when do you find time to fish? I mean, obviously, it's an enjoyment of fishing that got you started in this in the first place.
It's a tough deal. I mean, I used to fish a lot. I mean, 3, 4, 5 days a winter. I mean, every week I'd be out playing. But, of course, you come out with a product, you start a company that has to do with fishing, yes, you do limit your time now. I do not get on the water as much, be it hard water or just out at the lake during the summer. But once in a while, you have to go out and test new products. I like doing that.
Well, you got to do the research. But, you know, it's like you say, somebody think, well, he's in the fishing industry. That's all he gets to do is fish. That's got to be just a great job. But it's really not quite like that, is it?
No, it's a lot more work than you think. I mean, it takes a lot of time to keep the company going like that.
Speaking of fishing, I see you've got your sons are home from school now, and you probably take them fishing once in a while. What are some tips you have as far as taking kids fishing?
Pack a good lunch. That is the first clue. They have to have something to do if the fishing's poor. Possibly start out with panfish, get them onto something where they're actually going to catch anything. Anything keeps them happy. Then you can graduate them up to possibly walleyes or something that you're probably not going to catch 20, 30 of them.
Well, it seems like they've had some great success. I know I've seen some pictures of some of your, you know, some of the fish that your sons have caught, big smallmouth bass, big crappies, you know, catfish, you name it. I mean, it seems like they're off to a pretty good start there, and it's great to see.
It's fun to start them out young. You start with the little Snoopy rods, you know, then you graduate them up to the bait casters or the spinning reels, and they get it figured out pretty quickly. But yeah, you bring them out for a quick little trip, you know, 2-3 hours, that's all they need, and if they catch something, then they're really happy.
Oh yeah, no question. And you know, they don't really care what it is, but as long as it's pulling back at the end of the line, that's the main thing. I know it's, you know, in my case, it's been, you know, way too many years to think about, but I still remember that first fish I caught like it was yesterday. You know, luckily there's been quite a few in between, but I remember that first one probably more than any of them.
And it's kind of funny, you know, you watch them, you just hope they get it up to the boat or to the shore or up the hole so that you can hold it up for them and they can weigh it, they can measure it, they can quick take a picture and release it. I know my boys have already let some fish go that were wall mounters, and it's fun to watch them let it go. And that's what everybody should do, take a quick picture and let them go.
It's a great ethic to get started at an early age. And I mean, I think, you know, both of us probably grew up in the days when you caught a fish, I mean, you kept it. That's just the way it was. And I prefer this way. And not only that, you get the pleasure of catching them, but you don't necessarily have to clean them. And it's just a much better thing. It's a finite resource and an important one to save. But I guess for now, Bruce, thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us. It's been a pleasure as always, and we look forward to a continued success with your company. You've got some great stuff on the market, and we've enjoyed using it. So good luck, and keep her going.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking with you guys.
So for now, that wraps up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.